Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvie Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvie Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvie Salon and Spa at their website, truviesalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people. But we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't worry about me, I'm gonna make it all right. Got my enemies car field in my sight. I think I'll be a situation, gonna make it right. In the shadow of the darkness, I stand in the light. See, it's our style to keep it true. I had a bad year, I'm going through. I've been knocked out, beat down, black and blue.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM if you're in beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is a voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Get a hold of me at Instagram and Twitter. Home_made_man. And follow Radio St. Pete too. Radio STPETE over there. Instagram and Twitter. If you're a boomer and have Facebook, follow the page there. I put the podcast up. Just search HMB Radio. Make sure you subscribe. Give it a 5-star rating. You know, you people telling people about it is the best form of advertising. It really is. Shout out to PP Steve who used his Patreon for Monica Perez's Propaganda Report show to give me a shout out on there. Thank you, Steve. That stuff really does help. So, you know, I wanted to bore you today. I did. I'm not going to get into it too much, but I had this whole thing. I had was writing down show notes of what I'm going to do this week, and Anna Hummel will be here very soon. But I have a little bit of time to kill up front. And I'm not sure how a lot of you found this show. I'm assuming it has to do with the Johnny B show and continuing on from the radio program over here to HMB Radio. But I know some people have listened a long time, and I don't really know how they found me, but I'm glad they did, of course. And I know I was thinking about the other day, am I boring? Am I boring people with some of these things that I talk about? You know, this show has evolved over time. I used to have people who were doing stuff, you know, local artists and comedians and whatever. I just don't have time to do that anymore. I'm working two jobs, desperately trying to work just one job. But right now, unfortunately, I'm working a day job and a night job doing the night radio. So I don't have, and it's really hard to chase people down, make sure to get them to where they need to be. You know, I moved in that process and I live in a tiny little box now, and it's nicer in my other place, but it's just too small. And you get more than one person in here, it can get a little cramped sometimes. That's how small it is. And more so that I just don't have the time to chase people down and make sure they get here. And I'm sure a theme that you've noticed here is my fascination and focus on media, particularly corporate press and malfeasance that has been perpetuated by a lot of these outlets. And I was trying to figure out why that is. Why am I so obsessed with that? Because it is boring. It's very esoteric and very niche. So why do I keep talking about this? And I had an incident where I've had a news outlet just completely lie about me before. Something that they reported on the news, and it just never happened. And it was shocking to see how it went down. Now, I've told the story. I'm not going to tell it here because it's kind of a long story, but I got arrested many years ago for doing graffiti in St. Petersburg. And, you know, it was 3:30 in the morning. I got arrested, went to jail. They cooked up the city of St. Petersburg, and the police department concocted this story along with ABC Action News here locally that I took authorities on a slow speed chase throughout the city during the Grand Prix down here, and I was on a bicycle, and I was chased by horses and golf carts, and it was a whole to do. And that never happened. I mean, you can go look at the arrest report, and I got busted at 3:30 in the morning, and I was tackled and taken to jail. It's very boring. Very boring story. Now, I think they did this because they wanted to crack down on graffiti that was going around at that time. This was 10 years ago now. Now they kind of embrace it, I guess, as long as it's sanctioned. But I think they just wanted to teach me a lesson. But that's fine. And the lesson was taught going through the justice system over that for something so petty and small. It ended up being, you know, drug out for, God, a year. And then I had to pay my fines, and I learned my lesson. I didn't do it anymore. I was a kid, a grown-up kid at that point. But that experience with media where they went to my parents, they went to my poor mother's house, shoved a camera in her face, and she didn't know what was going on. And I think that's when I learned that, oh, you know, I always had that assumption that they're the news. They just tell you what happens. And I had firsthand experience where, oh, they'd not only bend the truth, but they will completely fabricate stories. That's, let alone, you know, national outlets with pundits but even local outlets. This is ABC News, Channel 28. And they did that. And I was like, whoa, that was a big eye-opening thing. So I think I've been kind of interested in it since then. It's always been something that I've followed. And we talked about it many times on here. And I was going to talk about the 60 Minutes piece. I mean, it was really a hit piece. Well, let me start before we get into that. I think I get taken out of context sometimes because I feel like people think I'm like a Republican or something, and I'm not. I don't vote anymore. I'm an anarchist at this point is what I consider myself, and it's been through a long introspection and you know, thinking about these things for a long time of how I got to this place. So I don't particularly believe in democracy. I don't believe in voting, surely. And I think I get, since I am critical of news and they tend to go after one side, which tend to be Republicans, kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to corporate media. You know, our last president really got really, you know, unfairly treated a lot of times by CNN and MSNBC. And I felt like I don't want to defend that guy. I don't. But it was just, some of the stuff was just so bonkers. And I just couldn't help myself. And then I feel like I got painted as, maybe not, maybe it's just in my home, but I could understand how people would see it that way, that maybe I was, you know, on the other team. And it's hard living in this city, St. Petersburg, if you have that stank on you. And I don't know. Like, I don't really care, but I also was like, I'm not being understood here. At least I felt that way. Maybe I am. So I don't know. I this story this week was 60 Minutes going after our governor, Ron DeSantis here. Yeah, I had it all planned out. I had all this audio put together where they clipped the audio. I mean, it's just, it's more the Daily Show than the Daily Show was. You know, the Daily Show is a comedy show. It kind of crosses that line and blurs the line between news and comedy. At least it did. I haven't watched it in many years. It sucks now, but it was great with Jon Stewart, even though I believe that that program did a lot of damage to our discourse looking back on it now. Because I was a kid and I got my news from there. And they would take stuff out of context and clip it together. But I don't even think The Daily Show would do what 60 Minutes did to Ron DeSantis this week. They did a story about Publix giving the governor $100,000 to his campaign. And him in return, the framing was that he gave Publix the first round of vaccines to distribute and got a partnership with the state and, you know, money to do that. So they totally clipped out an answer where she asked him a question at a press conference and just pinned two pieces of audio together, clipped out the whole middle, and released it. So it was totally, I didn't understand it when I saw it on 60 Minutes. And I was blown away because Twitter, social media, this stuff gets exposed, you know, immediately. And I'm seeing tweets where they have the audio, they have closed circuit television from the state and their feed. And it's quite clear that they edited this audio. And then you just go, there's so much talk about misinformation and getting rid of that disinformation and people who do it and ban people from social media and ban people from Twitter, ban them from YouTube for spreading this stuff. But that is a clear malfeasance there. I mean, there's not only a bias, but an agenda in that story. And nothing really, you know, they just went, no, we stand by it. But it got so bad. I am boring you with this. I hope I'm not, but I probably am. And I'm not going to go into it because even the Washington Post picked it up, Politico picked it up, even the Tampa Bay Times. Daniel Funke, the PolitiFact disinformation writer, even had to write about this. And I go, okay, well, I guess it's finally out there then that they know. But I was so, you know, we talked about it on the Johnny B show on Monday after it aired, and it was just wild that this stuff is able to continue. And they wonder why people don't trust them anymore. And they're exposed like on social media. And that's why they battle with social media, try to get people thrown off of social media. They don't care about the spreading of disinformation. They just want to be the ones who have the monopoly to spread it. So, I you know, you can find it. His article in the Tampa Bay Times is Unpacking Edits in 60 Minutes. And the report on DeSantis and Florida vaccines. I encourage you to check it out if you haven't. It made me feel a little better. It gave me some hope that, you know, maybe there's some hope. I don't think so. But when the Washington Post and the Tampa Bay Times, if those outlets are picking this up and going, yeah, yeah, this was a little rich. Then I go, okay, well, maybe there's hopefully some room to improve. But I don't know. If you saw it, I mean, I'm sure you thought it was crazy too. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. All right, enough. Enough of that. Thank you for listening. Let's get Anna in here.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit perturbed at you.
You're mad at me?
Not mad at you, but I was a little offended by something that you said.
Oh, no.
So, first of all...
we were literally hanging out for an hour.
I know. I wanted to save it for this.
Oh, no.
I wanted to save it. Well, don't be nervous. First of all, thank you, Paul Dudley. Paul Dudley sent a donation to my Venmo, which I then gave on a half.
I know. I was shocked. And
that's why I'm offended, because you said, I think you said I'm surprised that you sent it to me.
No. That's not at all what I said. I said, I thanked you, and you were like, well, don't thank me.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, you could have just kept it all for yourself, but you didn't.
I could have, but why, what is it in my character that you thought, like, potentially I may have done that?
There's nothing in your character. It's just when I said thank you, you said don't thank me. I think I'm also just surprised that people are more generous in giving. Like, certain things that people do, you're like, okay, you actually care about the good of humanity. Remember the shopping cart test?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, there's no punishment for not doing it, but, you know, it's all just for the good of somebody else, for you going out of your way to return the shopping cart.
Right.
Same with this, because, I mean, I would not have known that this guy donated any money.
Yeah.
But, I was just thanking you and him.
But you thank him. Thank Paul.
I did thank Paul.
Yeah, okay, good. Because you didn't need to thank me, because it was, you know, I like to think that
you're
I'm
an
a
honest man,
a good human being, or
yes,
try to be.
You are.
And it was, and now if it would have said just to me, but it said specifically in the Venmo, and it, I believe it said, quote, drinks for you and Anna.
Oh, okay.
So I took that as this is for us, yeah, not for me. Now, if it would have said drinks for you, Will, or just me in general, since it went to me, I would have kept it.
Yeah, okay.
Because there was no directive to,
sure,
no signal. But if it has your name in it, then of course I'm going to give you half of it.
I feel weird thanking you.
Don't thank me. Right, no need to. Thank you. Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Very nice. And if you'd like to do that, I just want to mention hmbradio.com/donate. There is a donate section. You don't have to. Some of you have. We're very grateful. And thanks. So you said you saw a celebrity this week.
I want to say an A-lister this weekend.
Holy moly. Okay. Now your definition of an A-lister, because you know nothing about pop culture.
That's not true.
Even probably more.
Not when it comes to sports, but pop culture, I think I'm pretty
okay,
well versed.
Fair enough. All right. So, but I would like to hear your definition of an A-lister.
Okay. So this all went down on Saturday night. My roommate turned 30. Dirty 30. We go out. And we go to this club in Tampa, and I feel like this is a surefire sign that you are in the presence of a celebrity, but you don't know it yet. I don't know if I could say this word on the air, so just notate when I'm saying it in case I can't. But if you see a midget in VIP, there's a celebrity.
Why do you think that?
Because anybody who is like
little person, I think it's
sure
the appropriate nomenclature.
Whatever.
Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know, because I've heard there's all, yeah,
whatever,
some of them get
is
offended by different things. I don't think there's any settled term.
They can't be in like the jobber area where everybody else is congregated, but if they're in a VIP section, I've noticed a lot of people who are millennials or people who usually make it big on the internet. It seems like there's someone in their posse that is a little person.
Interesting.
They like diversity in weird ways.
Okay.
At first, I saw this person, and I thought it was Brad Williams.
Okay. Comedian. Stand-up comedian. Little person. Yeah.
Right. So I thought it was him, but then I was like, Anna, they don't all
who
look the
same. Who raped a chick, by the way?
Sorry?
Brad Williams raped a woman.
That's confirmed, or?
Pretty sure it's confirmed. Basically, just a rundown of that was, I believe, I want to say it was Carlos Mencia, but I'm not positive about that. Some drunk chick came back to hook up with another comedian, and it was dark, and she was drunk, and he ended up...
I think I did hear about that.
Yeah, ended up
How
having sex with
not...
her. I don't know. No. Maybe he's packing some major
wood.
Like,
when she goes to grab his face, and she's like, wait...
Maybe he was doing it from behind or something. I don't know.
Interesting. But, just even the, you know, you typically don't, it's not like a, you don't use it, you can't use your hands. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Usually mm-hmm. you're feeling around.
I'm assuming that maybe it was like a dog, like a dog's would do, and there was no face-to-face contact.
The
maybe,
whole,
and
you just that's went how back they started?
To, maybe. I mean, I understand she was intoxicated.
It's
so.
Usually not the first move, I feel like. Maybe yeah. for some.
Well,
like
I think if she was, you know, maybe loose, you know, and just was under the or a hoe, yeah, too, and loose as in, you know, drunk.
Yeah.
Then maybe she would just go straight for dog.
A super slut.
Hey, you know,
yeah,
maybe.
Whatever. To each their own.
So I don't know. So that was I don't think anything ever happened to him for that. I'm surprised he's not canceled. But any hooser.
I thought I saw Brad Williams, so I was like, oh, is that him? And then I go, no. But he was in VIP, and he was really wilding out, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. really engaging with the people that were around him. There was a few hot chicks with, like, big fake, you know, hooters.
Before you tell me who this celebrity is, I'd like to try to guess, but I'm going to let you continue on a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. So I'm looking around, whatever. I was taking a lot in. It had been probably about a year since I'd been to, like, a club. So I was really taking it all in, and then one of the people I was with said, hey, that's blank.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn around, and I'm like, that is blank.
Mm.
Holy S. And then it kind of all made sense because I saw a few other people that I recognize. Would you like to guess who this was?
So,
I mean, I feel like you saw my Instagram.
I have no idea. Yeah, I might have, but I probably didn't. Sometimes when I just scroll through.
Just to
you
get
know.
Rid of the red circle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not really paying as much attention to that. Well, can you give me a hint?
Sure. This person has a podcast.
Okay.
This
Everybody in the world has one.
Okay. Very successful.
Very successful podcast.
This person initially made a big splash on Vine.
Vine, the defunct
yes
social but media website, one of my favorite ones.
On YouTube.
Then me. Okay, I'm gonna have no idea.
You know who this person is. I'm
do.
Keep giving you. I'm gonna keep giving you clues. It's an A-lister, I think. At least as far as pop culture goes.
Wow.
This person is a fighter.
Fighter, like UFC fighter.
No.
Boxer.
Yes.
Boxer. Made it big on, was it Paul? Logan Paul?
Yeah.
Logan Paul was in Tampa.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was at the club I was at.
Now, I have no idea who Logan Paul is, but I know who he is. Do you know what I mean?
That's an A-lister.
I fair enough. Yes, you're right. You're
like, he's in the ether of my consciousness, but I don't really know like exactly what he does, but you've heard the name.
Right.
He was going to fight Floyd Mayweather, which I don't know if that's postponed.
I think he is, yeah. I know that he's a person and that he's famous, but I've never really seen mm-hmm. anything that he's ever done.
Okay. I listened to and watch his podcast, Impulsive, pretty recently. Within the last 3 months, I've really dove deep into it. And I saw him and like his C3. Was there as well, and then there was the little person and a bunch of other people I did not recognize. But it was really interesting because one of the guys that was in my group was like, hey, I think that's Logan Paul. And I like, it was funny because I had literally watched a clip maybe the day before. You know what I mean? He's also really big into, I'm also really interested in how Logan Paul has diversified his investing portfolio. Like, he's put money into NFTs, he's put money into like real estate, he's put money into, you know, his YouTube videos and podcasting, and like he's really smart with his money, especially for being like a young dumb millennial.
And he was almost also canceled as well, and he's
yes,
kind of he's kind of revitalized his
incident.
Is he still on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Yes.
Okay, so he didn't get his demonetized from YouTube.
It was one of those things where I think he kind of went gray for a while and then reemerged.
Wrote it out.
Yeah.
Smart man. Smart man. That's what people need to do. He was initially kind of, I don't know, canceled, I guess you could say, because he went to Japan and took video in the...
canceled, but there was a lot of criticism.
a lot of criticism. Yeah. He was one of the first ones that I remember was kind of like upset and making videos apologizing for what he had done. And this was probably a few years ago. He went into the suicide forest in Japan where they have this. It's an actual thing where people go to kill themselves in this park.
And they saw a dead hanging body.
And they saw a dead.
They put it on film.
And they put it on film and he put it on YouTube and people were very upset with him for that.
Enough.
I guess, yeah. I could see the criticism.
Does YouTube have anything against you can't show a dead body? It
probably, but I don't think that was the issue. I think it was more because he was being insensitive of the situation, and they made jokes about it.
I didn't see the video, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say that was just like a blip on his radar. Now, I mean, it was a big deal at the time, sure, but like now with he has impulsive, and he has. Big comedian, you know, Tim Dillon's been on, Andrew Schultz, like Chris DeStefano, like all those people. He has a lot of the big, like YouTube, like Summer Rae, like Instagram people, like the who's who of Hollywood has been on that show for sure. And then he's done a lot of stuff with like Pokemon, and he's really into that, and he buys and trades these cars. He does stuff with like NFTs. He's kind of like on the cutting edge of where the
everything.
Money is, which is,
yeah.
Really smart, and I know that. I mean, I don't think he's dumb, and he's also done a lot of stuff with like publicity stunts with the fight he did against that black YouTuber. They sold out the Staples Center.
Oh, that
Center.
Was
KFI
no, that was a
or KCI.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you
him.
Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and then he fought Nate Robinson, who's a basketball
That's his
player.
Brother,
oh, that
Paul.
Was his brother that fought him. Okay, yeah. So, I get them all confused.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know KUSI, KSI. I don't remember his name, but they sold
English
out.
Dude, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They sold out the Staples Center. I mean, that's where the Lakers play. Like, crazy stuff, right? So I was just so intrigued on how he initially made money and then all the smart things he did thereafter. He's obviously got a good team of people behind him because I feel like, you know, he's just some kid from Ohio. He doesn't know Jack S., but, mm-hmm. you know, he's getting guided and directed in the right way. And he's sharing this information, which is useful to me. I didn't know what NFTs were before Logan Paul. Because he kept talking, I'm like, non-fungible. I'm like, is that a fungus? Like, I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
But I looked it up because of him, and I learned a lot. So
that's an interesting phenomenon. Much like, I guess essentially it's some sort of digital property that you own online, and it's kind of along the same realm as Bitcoin.
It's using blockchain technology like cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
But it's like art, media, whatever. But I think of it like anybody can have a printout of the Mona Lisa, but there's only one original.
Correct.
It's the same thing, but in the digital space.
And you own the rights to
Correct.
It, yeah.
Correct.
So
really
it can't actually be a physical thing, right?
No, it's not a physical thing.
It's not a physical thing.
It's all digital.
You couldn't sell the Mona Lisa as an NFT?
No, I don't think you could.
The digital rights to it, no, okay.
No, unless you take maybe a picture of it, and this is an original picture of the original or something like that.
Right, okay.
So I guess you could in that way,
uh-huh.
but you can't take something physical and make it digital, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
I mean, I kind of get it. But anyways, so it was just really interesting. And then as soon as I turn around and I'm looking and then other people are looking, you could definitely feel like a buzz. Like in the club. We're back in the club now. There's a buzz going on.
What club?
On. Bar Howard?
Tampa Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool club. And it was really cool because our boy DJ Flocko was actually DJing.
The Flockster.
Yeah, and he went over to like Logan Paul before I knew that was his table, and he's like talking to the people. I was just kind of looking at Flocko, and then he went back up, and then that's when someone's like, hey, that's Logan Paul. And then there was a buzz. You could just feel there were cameras coming up, people like looking, and then like moths to a flame, the hottest whores of Tampa Bay mm-hmm. just all started
some good
to
ones
flock.
Here, yeah.
Flock, and every girl that was approaching the table was like, I'm a 9 or a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I would be like, I wouldn't even, first of all, I'm grandma. Like, I wouldn't mm-hmm. even dare
mm-hmm.
come within like 15 feet of the table. But the girls who were like 21, 22, like really, really hot, started to flock to the VIP area. Like,
yeah.
And they're kind of like, wait, like they want to, hi. Like, they just want to bang a celebrity.
Or just be in VIP at the very least.
Yeah. That. So that was really interesting. And it is very bizarre when you've seen someone's face 1,000 times on TV or on YouTube or on a podcast, or you listen to them and then you see them like that's a real face. That's really you. And to see you in like real time was kind of cool.
Yeah, so, oh yeah.
I mean, I'm not like the person to be like, oh my God, but I was like, that's pretty cool that he's celebrating his birthday here, you know?
So. I saw, do you remember the show Wild Boys? That was on MTV. It was Steve-O and Chris Pontius, and they kind of did like a wildlife show. Hold it was a spinoff of Jackass, and they did much like Steve Irwin type of stuff. But they
named the characters again.
Steve-O and Chris Pontius.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't Jackass, but it was those guys.
It was a spinoff from Jackass, okay, okay. And they like I said, they did a wildlife type of show. But they kind of intermix stunts with wildlife. It's a brilliant idea for a show.
Oh.
And they had this guy Manny, who was I think he's from South Florida, long hair, white dude. No, never wears a shirt, always wears like khaki pants, but he's like a wildlife expert. That's what he builds himself. I'm sure he is, builds himself as that. I saw him when I was in Miami on spring break when I was 18. He was just walking down one of the streets, Sunset or whatever, in Miami. And I was just sitting there and I just looked at my friend. And I thought, that's freaking Manny.
Yeah.
From Wild Boys.
Yeah.
And then I was drunk, so I just smacked him on the back, probably pretty hard, really. He could have turned around and smacked me for that. I was like, Manny! And he was just like, hey. And I was like, season two Wild Boys. And he's like, yeah, coming soon. And I was just like, awesome. Okay. It was. It's weird. Like, that wasn't even an A-lister, but
no. That
was incredible just seeing, like, because I've seen that person
so many times.
I've seen him as an NFT, is what I've seen him as. I've never seen him as a real life person.
Real time, as a real person. And it was cool. And it was cool because his C3, who is very obnoxious on his actual show, like, it was cool to see him too. And he was, I think the people that are more excited are the people that are your sidekicks.
Mm-hmm.
I think for them, it's a little bit newer, all of the fame and stuff. Whereas it seems like Logan Paul was kind of used to it.
He's been famous for a long time.
He just turned 26.
He's been famous for what, 10 years?
He's like 18 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was kind of used to it, but I could see his sidekick was like really digging all the attention and really trying to like meet fans and like, man, I love you. And talking to the jobbers, like reaching down, shaking hands and stuff like that. So it was just cool. It was cool to see that. And like, it kind of, I don't know. I feel like Tampa's kind of like on the map, you know, I'm like, Super Bowl.
People are coming here, living here now just because it's one of the few free states left in the union.
Yeah,
you know, that's still some bastion of freedom here. You know who else I ran into one time, and I'm like, I don't even want to say his name on this podcast just because I know everybody that we know has some sort of history. Ooh, with this person.
I guess, is it an athlete?
Yes.
is he a football player?
No.
Baseball?
No.
Hockey?
No.
Basketball?
No.
Wrestler?
Wrestler.
Titus,
yes.
O'Neal?
No.
Hulk Hogan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because everybody's got their deal with that. You know what I found out recently? That he blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why.
That's super cool.
I think it's just because of my affiliation with probably the radio station that I work for. Okay. I'm assuming.
Did you tweet out at him or?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe I did. Mm. You know, I assumed it had to do with more of my affiliation with the station, but maybe that's not true. I don't know. Yeah. But I saw him, you know, he's lived here for forever.
Yeah.
He's I don't know if he was born in this area, but he's definitely called the Tampa Bay area home for a long
Clearwater,
time.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw him. It was with my cousin Logan a long time ago. Logan was from Delaware. He was visiting down here and we were at Largo Mall Movie Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he comes strutting in with his family, and my cousin freaks out. Freaks out. Dude! He's like, shit, I'm playing the race car game. I'm like, he's like, he's here, the Hulkster's here. And I went, oh, yeah, he lives here. Yeah, yeah. And I had seen him a few other times, but it was kind of normal for us to see him. But for him, it was just, you know, because he's an icon, you know.
One of the most recognizable figures on the planet.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. And I just said, Hulkster. And he said, hey, brother.
Hey, brother.
Yeah, and it was cool.
It's funny. I know somebody who knows him really well.
I know. I know you do.
Really well.
Really very like, intimately
like best,
well.
Like
yes.
best friends.
Yeah, yeah. That's
we're not really anymore, but that's really close. They shared many things.
Many things, yes. And that's why I almost didn't want to say anything because I know you have your deal. The place I work at has their deal yeah. with up. So it's like, what a mess.
But that's certainly an A-list celebrity.
Oh, for sure. For yeah. sure. That was like, you know, every kid, especially my age, you know, yeah. grew up kind of idolizing mm-hmm. him. So yeah, it was interesting to see him like in person. Mm-hmm. It was cool, but that was I think my only brushes with outside of, you know, maybe some professional athletes. I had a bad experience with a former Rays pitcher one time. Now I'm a nerd, okay? I do, especially when I was a little younger. I definitely had some nerd tendencies. One of them,
I don't have to convince anyone here, go ahead.
One of those things that I like to do that I'm kind of ashamed to admit now was I like to collect autographs. I liked autographs.
That's like, they're useless now almost.
Completely useless.
Now everyone wants a picture, but go ahead.
Yeah, selfies were more. Yeah, but this was, you know, 15 years
sure,
ago.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, but I was definitely a man at that point. A very young man, but I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, early 20s when I was kind of into this. And I would go out there after the baseball games and I would try to get autographs from baseball players.
As would a come 20-something by. Year old?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not a good look.
And I would be like with kids. You know, with like little oh. kids. Yeah, it was dorky, really dorky.
I wouldn't say dorky. I would say more predatory, but that's okay.
Well, I'm not there for the kids. I'm there for the autographs.
I know, but it's strange when you have the same interests as like an 8-year-old boy.
Agreed.
It's not a good look.
I'm not proud of it. No, I'm not proud of this.
You shouldn't be.
And there would be like older men there too, probably in their 50s, who may have been on the spectrum and had books of cards and stuff, mm. and then like little kids, and then me, 22-year-old. Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I had acquired autism over
maybe,
the years.
Maybe that's what got me to stop doing it. I don't know. But James Shields, he was a player for the Rays, and he came out of a game. I waited there for him for a long time, probably an hour and a half, mm-hmm. maybe even 2 hours after the game. And he came out, and I was the only one there, and I finally... Now, keep in mind, we're probably the same age. The same age at this point, probably in his early 20s as well. Yeah. And I gave him my hat and I said, "Damn, man, I've been waiting for you for 2 hours." And he took it offensively. And he said, "Don't talk to me like that." And I went, "Ah, what?" And then he took my hat, he signed it, and then he did this move. Threw it over the fence at a 45-degree angle. So I had to go pick it up out of the dirt.
What a jerk.
And I will never, if I ever see him, I want to fight him.
Yeah.
I want to fight him. I'm down. He'll probably kill me, but I want to get my honor back from that moment. Still something that haunts me. Probably just having a bad day. You know, maybe didn't pitch a great game. I can't remember, but, you know, and for whatever reason, sometimes just something will push you over the edge and then you're
sure,
just a jerk.
Sure. But there's nothing worse than having someone you idolize or strongly admire be rude to you, belittle you, or dismiss you.
Dismiss me and... made it quite clear that I am lower than he is.
I had a very similar experience.
I am, especially at that
sure.
point. However, you know, vocalizing
it's crushing. It's soul crushing.
Yeah.
I had a very similar experience with Dave Attell when I was in early 20s. And
yes.
I'll never forget that either. I cried all the way home because, I mean, I went to one of his shows. This was in Southern California. And I mean, I'd been watching the guys for a decade. Now, I'm not his demo, right? I'm not like a 45-year-old gross, you know, man that's, you know, an alcoholic. That's his demo. But I enjoyed him even though I was like 21, 22.
Terrific comedian. One of my favorites.
One of the best. One of the best in the biz. I'd been watching him since I was 13, like in Insomniac and watching a stand-up. And I went to a show. I dragged two of my friends with me, like two guys. I'm like, this guy's the best. Let's go see him. I went, I was the last person to, like, want a picture. I wanted, like, a back-to-back picture. I wanted him to do something stupid, but I just wanted a picture to be like, this is my idol. And he was rude to me, and he was just like, what is this, a Nickelodeon show? He said something, like, dismissive, like, someone's plus one. Like, I've been watching you diligently for a decade, and I was, like, 21 or 2, but still, I'm still a fan, and you're just, like, crushing me, and he takes this picture begrudgingly, and I wept the whole way home.
Wow.
And that's when I discovered, shortly after that, I discovered Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, that's my favorite.
Now I don't like you anymore, Dave.
Yeah, that's tough. I gotta say, the interactions I've had with comedians have all been positive. They've all been really good. And I was unintentionally a jerk to Tom Green one time. I didn't mean to be, but in retrospect, looking back on it, yeah, I was. I'm a big Tom Green fan, and I saw him at, he did stand-up at the Improv, and it was actually pretty good. I enjoyed the show, and he was funny, and afterwards he had a meet and greet, and I said, oh, I'm such a big fan, you know, and I said, I got Freddie Got Fingered out of the bargain bin for $4.95 at Walmart, and it's one of my favorite things ever. But I didn't need to mention that it was $4.95 and in the bargain bin. Yeah, you know, and I didn't mean, I just wasn't thinking, but, and he kind of went, oh, well, that's great, you know, and just didn't, and I could tell it probably hurt his feelings a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he was just kind of stand on and just said, well, thanks for coming out, you know, but he was still pleasant, even though I was kind of a jerk to him probably, but yeah, I most of my experiences with comedians have all been fantastic. Right.
And that was your fault. That was his fault.
James Shields can die, and I'll kill him.
That's how I feel about David Tell, but I still love him so much. He's so funny.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this before we go.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating thing with language, I think, and how words have different meanings sometimes. Nobody really has a command of the language anymore. Slang terms especially are kind of out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can find a word to replace for a slur now, right? You can kind of, if one word is banned, you can just make a new word and have it mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. Language is a Swiss Army knife like that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Carlton Davis. Tweets some bad. And the thing is he supposedly doesn't know what the slur is. Now, I know this word. I know you know this word.
To be honest with you, when I read this and I read it says the word, but it marks out a few letters.
Yes.
I couldn't think what the word was.
What could it possibly be?
I honestly was like, Gronk? Like, I was like, what's the word? Like, I couldn't fill in the blank. I'd heard the word before, but I honestly didn't remember it.
And it's really irresponsible of media to do this because you're right. If it is a bad thing, a lot of people don't know.
I didn't
really know. And you should tell people oh, this is not maybe something that you should say.
Yeah.
You know, and also Louis C.K. had a bit about this where people would talk about the N-word, you know, and he meant the N-word as in, no, literally, quite literally the N-word.
Not,
because,
by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're making me say the word in my head. Yeah. So it's not fair. And I agree with him with this, but we're in such a weird time now that, you know, even the New York Times and New York Post, you know, have to edit out what he said, and he quoted him, and they still edited out what he said because he fully said the word. I don't know if I should say it on here.
Don't even do it.
Yeah, it's probably not worth it
unless you bleep it out. But
now it's the G word for, and I've always known it as a slang. I've heard it in Vietnam era movies, like movies about Vietnam.
Okay,
and it's rhymes with. That's just funny that happened.
Book? Can I say that?
Yeah, like how somebody would say book who's not from this country. Maybe Ooh. They would have an book. It rhymes with that. It starts with a G. And he actually said it, and then they quoted him in the New York Post, and they said, gotta stop letting that word, you know, quotes, in Miami. Now, this is specifically geared towards Vietnamese, Filipino, and Korean people. He deleted the tweet right away because I'm sure somebody went, dude, what are you doing? And he goes,
hashtag stop Asian hate.
he didn't know that he used it, you know, in that connotation. He had a completely different understanding. He's young. He's 24 years old now. And I looked it up. He said, I've never heard it used that way. He said, I've always heard it as lame. You know, that's what that word means. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up on Urban Dictionary, and he's right. This is not something that was just added today.
Does it say a noun?
It doesn't say how it's used. It just has the definition.
Okay.
And it's a term commonly used in South Florida to describe a person who is lame. And this was added by somebody named Jotto Man on February 13, 2017.
So it has been in the ether. It's not like he did it today.
Yes. Okay. So it's in the ether, and his explanation is that, look, I didn't know that even that's what it meant. So that word has
totally went over his head as that slur, which makes sense.
And he also has a case because he says Miami, and the definition says something about South Florida.
Yes, and so he was in Miami. That's good,
yeah.
So he's on the Buccaneers have some sort of social justice group, and this site, the post-millennial that I like, that does some good stuff, but they were kind of giving him crap about this and the fact that he's on the Buccaneers group. Yeah. It's tough. Like, what are you doing? Like, he obviously said it, but there's no, like, there's always context to these things that should be added.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe him that he had no idea.
I believe him too. I don't think he was trying to, who would write that, especially now? Like, you know what I mean?
You'd have to be a complete fool to tweet any sort of slur whatsoever.
Sure, sure. I honestly think it was a mistake.
I believe him, and especially because I thought...
I don't really remember the word. So how would he, if he's 10 years younger than me?
Yeah.
You know?
I learned about it from movies.
History and...
From about, like, Vietnam.
Sure.
You know, from the 90s and stuff. You know, I've heard it be used. But we're just in this super hypersensitive... moral panic that we don't give people the benefit of the doubt. It's everything's black or white, you know, I know that makes you raise your eyebrows even saying that term, but there's no sort of context. And that's what, you know, I think people are getting sick of. I think there's at least doubt there, and you should give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
and he goes,
absolutely.
Look, I'm sorry. You know, he apologized and said he had no idea. So
did he screenshot the definition, the Urban Dictionary?
No, he should have.
Like, this is what I thought it was.
But he didn't. So, yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was, interesting that these words have a meaning that some people don't even know. And sometimes people could potentially use words that they don't even know are offensive and then have repercussions for that, where they're totally, you know, the intent doesn't matter and they're still being punished for things. I mean, it's just stupidity. Yeah. Now, I know that ignorance is no excuse for breaking a law. However, this isn't law. This is,
just bad PR.
We're losing our humanity a little bit and not allowing people to make mistakes. Or I don't even think it was a mistake, though. I mean, quite literally, it has that definition.
He's not wrong.
I know that Urban Dictionary is not, you know, gospel, but it kind of is a dictionary of slang terms and internet words.
Slurs are slang. And also words, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they also are slang.
But they have meaning, it's important to realize that words have meaning.
And context. And I always say this, and not that it ever matters, but intention does matter. If you're meant to hurt somebody, that's different than if you didn't. Even if you do the same act, intention matters. That's
Definitely.
The difference between manslaughter and first-degree murder. Mm-hmm. In both cases, someone is dead, but in the first case, it was premeditated. The second, it was a mistake, an accident.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think anything is going to happen to him. I certainly hope not, and I think we should at least give him the benefit of the doubt.
Is he a good guy otherwise? Like,
seems like it. Okay. I mean, I don't know him.
But I mean, like, you know, people have reputations, and
he seems to be a
he's
model.
He's not on the radar for being a bad guy.
Right.
Not like AB or something like that.
Right, okay. As far as I know, he's always had, a clean record so far, and it's an outstanding member of the community. So, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting, but I think we'll wrap it up there. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man, and same thing with Instagram. Follow HMB Radio on Facebook and
on Home Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's me
everywhere.
On and thank you to
Paul Duds.
Thank you very much,
Paul P. Duddies. Yeah, thanks, Paul.
And no thank you to Will.
No thank you to me.
No thanks to Will, necessary. But thanks to Paul.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much, Paul Dudley. Appreciate you very much. If you want to make a donation, you can. It's available to you. Don't have to, but it's there. hmbradio.com/donate. If you make it to me and don't mention on it, I'm keeping it. I will keep it. But if you put on his name in it, I will split it with her because I am a upstanding member of society. That's it for the show this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be good to yourself. Be good to others, as Jerry Springer would say. It's a good saying. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. Tell a friend about the podcast, HMB Radio. Download it. Have a great week. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.